Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We are in a series, and we started this a couple of weeks ago. We're actually in what I call installment number 3. We are teaching on the topic of WTF, why trust feelings. And we decided to hit the streets again. I knew that would make you happy. And to talk to some people about their thoughts on trusting feelings. Have a look.
All right, everybody, we're in week 3 of WTF, and we're going to hit the streets one more time, and we're going to ask the question, do you believe that you can change the way that you feel? So let's go and see what people say. Do you believe in life that you can change your feelings?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, okay. Why do you absolutely think that you can change your feelings?
Because you can change the way you think.
So I can force myself to change my mindset and my attitude, and it usually changes how I feel.
Because we have the power to choose, we have free will, and so we can choose how we react to things.
Why do you say of course?
Because I've done it many a times.
How do you do it? So what does this mean?
You just do it if you wanna.
What are some things that you could do to change the way that you feel?
Eat.
Say it again?
Eat.
You could eat? Okay, you could eat. What else could you do?
Sleep.
Sleep? Okay, but what's something productive that you could do?
Fortnite.
Okay, play video games. What do you filter your feelings through?
Yodeling. Do a lot of yodeling.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can you show us?
Not here.
What do you filter your feelings through before you make a decision?
Well, to be honest with you, I filter my feelings through the Word of God.
What makes me happy, what makes others happy, and how can I find a middle ground?
First of all, you have to take every thought captive and bring it unto submission to Jesus Christ.
Woo!
Right? And then after that, it just kind of follows.
Okay, that was the best answer that we have ever gotten when we've done this, and you win the prize. Man, we just found the Champion Center Hangout. I'm here with JoJo and Ginger. They both go to the church. And a couple questions for you guys. You know what series we're in. What are you guys doing after school here at Anthem? Are you guys on a date?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, man.
Sure.
What? Okay, we'll go get your food. We'll see you at church this weekend.
So if you need a little help with your dating game, our campus pastors are happy to help. Let's say this together. Say, my heart's open. My mind's ready. Make me better, God. By your word. I receive it. I believe it. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. So by now, if you've been a part of the series, you know that we are emotional beings, and we're all thankful that God created us with the ability to be happy and to smile and to feel the joy that we experience oftentimes in life. This series has not been a denial of how God created us, and has also not been to say that we should suppress those good kind of emotions. I mean, how many of you like to feel good? You like good vibes? Anybody? You like the good feeling? Boy, I know I do. And this is more along the lines of helping people understand that your best life is not lived by feelings. Your best life is by having faith in God. So if you want to have the best possible future, don't base your decisions on feelings. Feelings are not facts. Feelings change based on how much sleep you get the night before, or the weather, or the song that is playing in the moment. The people that you're hanging out with. Feelings feelings will lie to you. And feelings will deceive you. So the point of this series is I'm hoping to grab people's attention and just ask that question, why? Why? And if that's what you have been doing, I hope you'll ask yourself, why? Like, I'm hoping you will take this home with you and you will look in the mirror, and on those days where you really need to, if not every day, that you will say, WTF, like, why trust feelings? Because feelings, if you allow them, they'll ruin your day. And they will mess up your week, and they will destroy your life. So why trust, say it with me, why trust feelings? Scripture says this, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. So let's say it out loud, let's say it together, you ready? We live by faith, not by sight. One more time. We live by faith, not by sight. This weekend, we're going to talk about how to change the way you feel. How to change. What do you do when the feelings are there and you feel like, you know, in the moment, like, I don't know what to do. I feel this way. Well, let's talk about it this weekend, how to change the way you feel. First thing is change how you think. To change the way you feel, change how you think. Whenever I first was researching for our book, Mind Monsters, which was years ago, I realized that this feelings and this thought thing were so connected that for me personally, I came up with a phrase, and it goes like this, just to remind myself where these feelings come from. Feelings come from thoughts. And then I took it a step further, and thoughts originate in the mind. Right. Now, the reason that I needed that, and it's helped me through the years, is because I needed to realize that if I want to change my feeling, first of all, I change my thought. Yeah. But then if I wanted more than just a momentary change, that I actually, if I wanted to change on a consistent basis my thoughts, I could go back to the mind, what the Bible calls renewing the mind. Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So it has helped me to remind myself that my feelings come from my thoughts and my thoughts originate in the mind. So I can change how I feel if I change my thoughts. I don't think I'm the only one. In fact, I think everyone here is sometimes, you know, you don't like how you feel. I know there's often times for me, I just don't like how I'm feeling. And it could be that I'm feeling disappointed in myself, could be just a feeling of discouragement. Or for me personally, I have a loud, my inner critic is a shoulda critic. It, you know, Kevin, you shoulda done that. Kevin, you shoulda said that. He never speaks up in the moment. He always reminds me later. Kevin, you shoulda known. Kevin, you shoulda remembered. Kevin, you shoulda said, you should have done. You shoulda. Stats tell us that most people have between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts a day. And that 70% of those thoughts are negative in nature. Somebody say, wow. So my little shoulda is only one part of those thoughts that we all deal with, the nagging voice that tells us we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we have no skills, that we don't look good, that we don't feel good, and then that we don't have enough discipline to change it. Telling us and reminding us of how many times we've tried and then we've failed. And all it takes is one thing, one statement, one person, to just create a feeling instantly. This past week, it was early in the morning, Sheila and I were in the car together, and we did a mobile order at Starbucks by our house, and I got to Starbucks, and it was crowded everywhere, and there was one parking spot that was next to a walkway. And so, you know, you guys know how small parking spaces are. And so I pulled in, and I took my parking spot, but I also took a little bit of the walkway. And I wanted my wife to have enough room to get out without hitting the door on the car next to us. So, whew, you can imagine me coming in. She jumps out. She heads in to grab the order. And I'm thinking in my head, I better go use the restroom before we get on the highway. So now I get out of the car, and I'm walking to the door, kind of brisk, you know, on my way to the door. And as I'm on my way to the door, I notice a guy staring at me, sitting at the table right there outside Starbucks, and I notice he's looking at me with a not real friendly look. When I got close enough, he says to me, "Why didn't you just take up 3 spaces?" And I passed on the first thought that came to my mind. I didn't do as well with the second one. It was a little better, but I looked at him and I said, first of all, I didn't take up 2 spaces. Next to my car is a walkway, and I left plenty of room for 3 people shoulder to shoulder to walk through. Took up 1 spot. He looked around me and surveyed the situation a little more. And I should have walked in. That's what should have told me later. Should have told me I should have walked in later. But I stayed. And after he looked around me, and I stood, and I had 1 foot holding the door open, and I looked at him, I said, "You okay?" And should have reminded me later that at that point, when he looked up at me and said, "Yeah, I'm all right," I should have walked on then, but I didn't. I stayed. And so I was debating, asking if he wanted to go to heaven. If so, do you want to go now? I thought about that. But I said to him, "Are you sure you're okay?" And he nodded. And so I walked on in, got back to the car, and my wife had observed and even come through the door while all this was happening, and we get in the car, and you know how wives are, like, boom, they are your conscience, you know. So immediately Sheila's like, "What was going on? What was that all about?" And I said, I think he was having a tough morning." "No, I saw the look on your face and you were talking." So for the next few minutes, I had 2 shouldas going on. I had my own shoulda, because my shoulda is saying, you should have been bigger than that. You should have rose above. You should have, you know, just been more kind. You should have. And then I got the other shoulda over here named Sheila, and shoulda was telling me, "What are you thinking? What are you doing? What is up with you? Like, do you not, like, he could be going to our church. He might know who you are. You shoulda." I know. Oh, this is why we have, not because of the incident, but for the next half hour, this is what I was working on. On demolishing the argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge, and taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, because the incident was behind me, but the shoulda was staying with me. and kept on hounding me and pounding away on me and telling me, you're bigger than that. Come on, you're too far along to be doing that. You shouldn't even talk that way. You should have, like, asked him to come to Jesus or something. Or, you know, there was a much better response, Kevin. But I had to do this. I had to say, okay, you beat me up long enough. I am a human being. And every once in a while, my challenger comes out. And Jesus, I'm sorry, but I did what I did. Now let's move on. Can anybody relate? I don't know what you deal with in terms of feeling down, feeling bad, feeling regret, feeling like something in your life wasn't right, didn't handle it right. I'm just telling you today, if you want to change that feeling, bring every thought into captivity and make it obedient to Christ. That's the key to changing how you feel. People who live by faith don't feel our way into an action. We act our way into a feeling. We call it acts of faith, you know? Just acts of faith. Like, step out in faith and act what you don't feel like doing. You do it, and then the feelings come behind you. Like, we don't just sing because we're happy. If you're a believer today, we're happy because we sing. We don't just worship in victory or at the, you know, at the end of a battle where we have victory. We worship while we are on our way, while there are questions still lingering, while there's stuff that is still unknown. Like, we act our way into the feeling. We don't just feel our way. Come on, how many of you know you can feel anxious? You can feel anxious and act calm. You can feel all kinds of anxiety and you can say, I have the peace of God right now over my heart. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. Calm down. Thank you, God, that I am calm. You can act with courage even when you feel discouraged. You can feel tired on a really important day where maybe you have an exam or a test or you have a interview or something you got to do that day. You can feel really tired and you can act with energy. And if you are a person of faith, you don't wait to see how you feel before you act. You act regardless of how you feel. Thank you, I'm trying. We walk by faith. Come on, somebody say, we live by faith. Say it again, we live by faith. Say, we are people of faith, not a feeling. A legendary preacher, if I said his name, most of you would know immediately who I'm talking about. But years ago, he was actually with us and was here for a weekend. And he was up in years. He's since then gone on to heaven. But I'll never forget when he said to me, I was complimenting him at his age for his composure and his energy and his vitality and the way he still was in there being a blessing, and his life and his ministry was such a huge blessing around the world. And he said to me, I'll tell you one thing, like, just if you want a little tip. He said, on the days when you don't feel like speaking and you don't feel like preaching and you don't feel, you wish you could just be somewhere else, and you get to that moment where it's your time to do what you were meant to do, you're called to do, don't just go to the platform like this. He said, when it's your moment, and many of you since then, now you'll reflect back, you know I do this. Yep. I do this every week. Here's what I do. I take two steps. Take two, not one. Why do I do that? Because I have a part to play in God's great plan. And my feelings often want me to go AWOL. But I'm going to act my way into what I know is true. And that is that every weekend matters. Every message I preach matters. I was born with a purpose. Come on, God has a plan for my life. So if we live by faith, we don't feel our way into an action. Does anyone appreciate that about me? That I don't come in here and just act like I feel. Does anybody? Can I tell you something? The people around you will love you for it. If you will not always go with how you feel, but if you will act your way into, and man, I'm getting a little stuck. This is the last service of the day, and I got to get some stuff out of me, I guess. But I just want to tell you, don't you dare allow a voice to tell you, well, that's just faking. If it's faking, it's good faking. It's faith faking. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We hold on to the promises of God. We don't just say it. We believe it to the point where we act in agreement with the idea that I belong here. This is my day. Life is a gift from God. What I do with my life is my gift back to God. Therefore, I will not slumber. To change the way you feel, change the environment. Hope you're taking some notes. In the early years of our pastoring here, Sheila and I came up here when we were in our 20s, and we took a church that was in a major financial crisis at that point. All of our families, 2,500 miles away. And it's Sheila and I and our then very young daughter, Jody. And we missed our family, lots of pressure, not enough of anything it felt like to go around, or just enough, maybe barely enough. But we didn't have friends in ministry at that point. So one thing that we used to do as a habit, and usually on the weekends, on Sunday after church, sometime near the evening, we would go to the waterfront here in Tacoma. How many of you know it's beautiful? Anywhere in the Seattleland area, down on the waterfront. And we would go to one of the nice restaurants that we could not afford to eat in, and we would get there and ask for usually a window seat or a setting out on the porch, and we would order dessert. And sometimes we would invite a friend or two to come along and share the dessert. Like, that's all we could afford, was the dessert. And it was amazing how we discovered just getting out of what we were in every day with the pressure and with the challenge that we put ourselves into, no complaint. But to get out in an atmosphere where people are walking around happy and it's a spirit of excellence and there is no shortage, and you're looking out at the ocean and the breeze is blowing, the environment has an ability to change how you feel. So if you want to change how you feel, change the environment. And for people who might think, this is a little help to people, because I know there's some people that you're so calculated, you're like, well, that just sounds too superficial to me. Let me tell you about something really. You can look it up and you can Google it, that substantiates what I'm talking about right now. In the Vietnam War, there were a lot of heroin addicts. A lot of our soldiers became heroin addicts. And it got so bad that the U.S. government started planning toward the end of the war back here in the States to support military soldiers and so forth coming home with addictions. And so the medical world was alerted, and all kinds of effort and money and time went in to having the best support available, because at that point heroin was thought to be irreversible. It is pretty much in some places today, but a very, very powerful and addictive drug. And we had all these soldiers coming home with an addiction. But the amazing thing that happened, and that astounded people, was that only 5% of the soldiers who were addicted in Vietnam, when they got back, only 5% relapsed. Only 5%. And when they started studying as to how that could happen, that's like a phenomenon. This is crazy. It was all, the conclusion was all about environmental change. Environmental change, taking them out of that condition and putting them in it. And that's why in our Celebrate Recovery programs, when we're trying to help people get through addictions, we oftentimes give advice. You cannot go back to the same world you came from. You can't go back to the same house you came from. You can't go back to the same friends you came from. Come on, it's the power of the environment And also, let me just tell you, that's why being in an environment of faith and worship and prayer every weekend is so important to God's people. Never underestimate how a weekend in service and being around God's people can turn the feelings that you have that are negative into feelings of confidence and courage and faith. So when you feel like staying away, don't do it. Get yourself to church and get in the right environment and get around people of faith. Amen? To change the way you feel, switch what you say. Switch what you say. Let me show you Hebrews 13. Read it slowly enough, if you would, to grasp it. It says, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So he's talking about what God said, the writer is. And then he says, so, based on this, we say. Now, how many times have you heard what God said, but you walked around and said what you wanted to say and what you felt like saying? Can we talk? I'm just trying to help you. This is what I do. Like, I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but if I do, God bless you. What I want you to ask yourself is, when I know what God says, why do I not change what I say? The writer says, we say with confidence what he said. Basically, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Want to change how you feel? Switch what you say. There's a right place. There's a right time for you to have honest, open conversation with counselors, advisors, even husbands and wives and family. There's a right moment, right time for you to open up and share your feelings. It's healthy. Nothing wrong with it. Here's my advice to you. Here's what I think the Bible teaches us, is that whenever we are sharing how we feel for the purpose of connecting with the people around us that matter in our life and even getting help, always connect that verbiage to something that is based on God's word. In other words, if you're going to say, but Pastor Kevin, I'm so stressed. Like, what I would say to you is, don't leave it there. Let's talk about it a little bit. Let's ask why. Let's ask what. But before the conversation ends, don't leave it with, I'm so stressed. Take and go further than that and do something like this. I'm feeling a lot of stress lately. I think it could be work-related. I think it could be family issues that we're being challenged by. But I'm feeling a lot of stress. But I do know this. I know that God's with me. And I know that God has not forsaken me. And I know that He is my strength and God is my help. And He is not going to let me down. The Bible tells me to not be anxious for anything. The Bible tells me to cast all of my care on Him. So I'm going to trust God that through this season, not only am I going to make it through, but I'm going to be stronger when I get to the other side of this season that I'm in. Now, can you see the difference in what I'm sharing with you? Because what happens is that when we leave it there, you have something called the reticular activator in your brain. And it tries to hear what you say and then help you or support you with what it thinks you meant. So when you say something like, I'm feeling really sad, your reticular activator would say, hey, I know a good country western song. Just go put it on right now. Just kind of wallow in the sad. I know a song about sadness. Yeah, I can help you with that. Sad day to day. I'm just trying to help you understand how you're wired, how you're made, how God created you. Right? So when you might, you know, say something like, I'm sad or I'm feeling gloomy, what happens is that your words will establish either feelings or faith. So if you speak a feeling and you lay the feeling out there and you leave it there, it just grows. Like when you say you're stressed, guess what? You're more stressed. When you say, I'm sad, guess what? You're going to be more sad. If you say, I'm discouraged, I'm so discouraged, guess what? You're going to still be discouraged tomorrow. If that's all you say, when you say, I am angry, I am ticked off, guess what? It's going to go to a whole nother level. Because that, the way you're wired, is going to give you reasons why you should be that way and feel that way. On the other hand, when you switch what you say and you start to say things based on God's promise, am I helping anybody? Do you understand what I'm saying? It can change the way you feel. Can change the way you feel. If you got it, say, I got it. The last one is to change the way you feel, make a move. Make a move. Look at a neighbor and say, make a move. Look at your other neighbor, the second choice, tell them, make a move. Make a move. Okay, this is the last one, but it is no less important. If you really want spiritual jujitsu on your feelings, I'm giving you some. I'm giving you some moves today, all right? And the last one is actually make a move. The posture and the movement of the body plays a big part in how we feel. I promise you, if you right now just slump a little bit and put your head down, your brain, your mind, and the way God created you takes on sadness, takes on your posture creates an awareness of, oh, wow, we don't feel very good. Okay? So when you see somebody sitting slumped in a chair and they're just sitting slumped, well, you might say, well, I can tell they look sad. They've got to be sad. They're feeling sad. But can I tell you that that could be true, but the person is also sad because they're sitting in that posture. What a lot of people don't realize is that in the Bible, there's all these instructions, especially throughout the Old Testament, it repeats over and over and says, stand, stand up. It says, lift up your heads unto the heavens. Lift up your heads to the Lord your God. It calls us gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. It says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Now, we do that out of obedience. And maybe some of you are not familiar with a church, an expression-filled church like Champion Center. Maybe that's all new to you. And you wonder, well, why do you do that? Is all of that necessary? Well, first of all, the Bible just tells us to do it. The Bible tells us to sing. The Bible teaches us to celebrate God's goodness. The Bible teaches us and gives us example after example. No matter how life is going, you worship God. And physically, you engage. So you raise hands, you lift head, but I believe that not only is it something God wants us to be obedient in, I think God, here's how I see it. I believe that God, knowing exactly how He created us, that He's literally showing us and giving us a map of guidance. That when you do that, when you stand higher and you lift your head taller, that you feel better. You feel better about yourself. You feel better about the day. That when you literally, I love it, we have lots of real men around Champion Center. I see these men, they're men. Lots of soldiers, military, lots of police officers, lots of buff, strong guys in the house. See you. Love you. And I love it when these men don't do what most men do today. That ain't gonna get you where you want to go. If you just like stand this way with everything, you can do it. I mean, I'm not here to force you to do anything. I want to tell you that you're not going to feel any different. You're not going to feel any better. And the people around you are going to keep their distance, and they're going to feel like you're not friendly, and you might have a great heart. So what I love about people and men that we have, especially in our house, is men who are not afraid. They're more like David in the Bible. We're just not afraid to lift up our hands to God. We're not afraid to put our heads up high. We're not afraid to participate and engage and nod and nod. And even when your wife talks to you, sir, can I tell you that if you just stare back at her, that is not going to get you near as far as if you lean in and nod your head. Just nod your head, like smile, even if you really don't know what she's talking about. Like just nod. I get in trouble sometimes because I say, I don't understand. Never mind. So I've learned, like, just act like you understand. Like, it works a lot better. Yeah, things go better whenever you engage. Because here's the catchphrase. Your physiology impacts your psychology. So I can tell you God's good, but if you'll shift your words, if you'll put your head up, if you'll start walking in that understanding God's good, I am a divine design. I might be in tough times right now, but I'm a champion. I'm gonna come out strong on the other side. And you start walking around with a confidence and a strength in your life, you're gonna feel like a champion. Amen? You're gonna feel like an overcomer. Come on, you're gonna feel like a man or a woman on a mission who has a purpose for your life and for your future.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.